Escape the ordinary. Your guide to travel the world before your 30s.
Hello everyone, I'm Dora Mezu from the Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, or in English, First University Radio of the City of Pest. You are listening to Escape the Ordinary, a podcast series about European Solidarity Corps. But what is European Solidarity Corps, you may ask? Well, this is an amazing opportunity for every youngster between the age of 18 to 30 to volunteer or work in projects or be part of trainings either in their own country or abroad that benefit communities and people around Europe. Thanks to the involved organization, you can fight for any social cause that may interest you, from environmental protection to migration or social inclusion, but even educational or cultural causes, etc. Mostly in these projects, they cover your traveling expenses to the hosting country, you get free food, accommodation, and some pocket money too. I actually was a Hungarian ESC volunteer in Turkey, and with the help of my sending and hosting organizations, also my fellow volunteer friends, during these episodes we will tell you everything you need to know about European Solidarity Corps. How hosting organization work, especially for these volunteering projects, we will tell you what kind of opportunities ESC can offer you, and how can you apply. But with the help of my guests, you will also get to know the importance of having a sending organization and a lot of suggestions and memories from the former volunteers. In this first episode, we will jump right in the middle of everything with Third Eye Association of Mediterranean. This is a Turkish hosting organization for volunteers who would like to take part in a short-term project. Now, with European Solidarity Corps, there are two types of volunteering projects. Up until 2 months, we can talk about short-term projects, and every project between 2 months and 1 year are long-term projects. Third Eye Association fights for environmental protection and the protection of the endangered sea turtles. Today, my guests from the associations are Seyhan Akdogan, the founder of Third Eye Association, Gürel Kaptanoglu, the digital coordinator, and Yusuf Temiz, the mentor of the volunteers. They will present their organization and the possibilities of the ESC volunteers with them. Yusuf, unfortunately, will be joining us a bit later during our conversation because of personal matters, but anyways, we can start it already. Here is with us Seyhan and Gürel. Hi guys, how are you?
Hi, we are fine. How about you?
I'm very fine, thank you. Today we talk about Third Eye Association. First question is, how you founded the association and why it was founded?
Yes, as we grow up for education, we kept away from our hometown and we lived for a long time, especially I lived for a long time away from Kazanlı. And when I return back here for holidays, I see nothing is changing. And because when we were kids, nobody had any idea about the sea turtle protection or what is the importance of sea turtles or environment. Thanks to my high school studies and also university studies, I met with very conscious people in my life and I saw what is going on around the world, and the world needs more good people than that time. So when I returned back to my hometown, I realized that nobody can change him or herself. There must be an impact for a change, for a future. Then we said, why not? Let's start an organization to make people together, come together and to speak about the ideas, to create the awareness. Then our motto became the be aware and create awareness. So being aware is not enough anymore in our modern life. We need to create awareness among local people or in national areas or international areas. Personally, I participated in many projects in my life, but I said I should also share this knowledge with other people at the same time. And the other motto was the most important motto of our organization establishment was, if there is a problem around you and if you are not taking part in the solution part, actually you are the problem. So we just wanted to be in the solution part. Doesn't matter, even 1% plus will be very big amount, very big percentage for the world and for conscious people at the same time. So with this idea, with this mentality, I started to speak with my friends around me who had shared the same ideas with me. Then we founded this Third Eye organization.
Where the name comes from?
The name is also special for me, like it is Third Eye with the heart thinking, because everybody has logical reasons to live. but we also need some reasons from heart to live or to do something. In again, in a modern life, everybody is doing something to gain something or to make benefit from it. But when you do something without any personal benefit, most people ignore it or most people deny it. That is why there must be another way of thinking. And it was the idea to do something by heart. And we put the name Third Eye Organization. And actually, when you make the acronym, because we need a team spirit, it is like Third Eye Association of Mediterranean. When you make acronym, it became team. So we need the team spirit as well.
Yuri, how did you become part of this organization?
I'm not directly into the organization. I am not on paper member of the organization, but maybe I am much more into the organization, the one whose names are written on the legal papers. And Mr. Seyhan knows what I'm talking here. But I am with Mr. Seyhan from the very first time he was thinking about the protection of the marine life, especially the sea turtles. He was deeply, thinking about how to save them, how to protect them, because every day he was telling us that he saw a dead turtle body and they are getting a lot in number, dead turtles everywhere. So one time when you make a little, search about the sea turtles that lay eggs in Kazanlı sea shores or the coastline, you will see that they are the Chelonia or Chelonia Midas, They are the only species that eat grass or that harvest grass, the seaweeds, from the other seven species. These green turtles are of highest importance for Kazanlı and the Turkish seashores. So, having some talk around the topic, they came when Mr. Seyhan was in Istanbul. He said just in a cafe, he tells me this, the very first day, yes, I want to start the organization now. The decision, came at that time. We were at the same school. We were both teachers of English there. And I said, well, if I can help, I can do anything you would like to. We were, good friends. So good friends, what we are for, we have to help each other if you are really good friends. Okay. So I said, I can help you. So he started and I helped him as much as I can do. That's the starting point of the organization.
And how could you help him?
Well, in the very first days, it was hard to keep the people, talking to them and getting to know each other. Any kind of help, from carrying the television to the apartments and doing the cleaning thing, any help. And later we started to grow our help, like sharing part in the project writing, for example. And finally it turned to the digital. In the very beginning, we started the website. So from that time, it's not a working like a clock website, but I was into that website part mostly.
I know that your organization is the reason that Kazanlı Beach became protected, because you realized that sand was disappearing from there and they built more and more houses. How did you manage to make it protected?
First of all, we started to speak with the local people. Like, the amount of sand that you take is very small amount for your farm or for your in front of your houses. But when you combine all together the number of the people who are taking the sand, it is becoming very big amount. So we started to raise the awareness first about this topic. Like, there is not only you in this world. There are many, many people than you around the world. So if even one person stops doing something bad or something which is not very harmful in their idea, so we started to raise awareness about this topic. So we give them the conscience why we should stop it. And there was two sand hills from the road to reach to the sea. So I was trying to remind the middle-aged people how it was in 80s, in the beginning of 90s. So they started to remember about what I am talking about. Like, why is this place a place for sea turtles to lay their eggs? Because it was a protected area naturally itself. Because turtles, when they arrived to the seashore, there was no light. There was no people, there was no other type of animals from the food chain. So when they remember, they say, yeah, you are right. We should do something. So we should stop at least what we are doing. another perspective, I am always talking about this topic. Like in a small places, I am sure in Hungary or also in all part of the world, the teenagers, they grow up until the university time in a place where they were born mostly. Then when they grow, when they improve their knowledge with the university, their hometown or their village, their town is never enough for them anymore. So all the teenagers would like to go to capital cities or bigger countries. I am not blaming anyone. This is also right. It doesn't matter. Of course, everybody is searching for something. So this is your life preferences. But in a town like Kazanlı, if all the studied, like all the people who had studied university or upper education, if they never return back to this hometown for leaving, I don't mean about coming and visiting their parents for holidays and relatives, then going back. I don't mean about it. I mean to leave here. This type of places will never change. And all that teenagers who had studied and improved themselves will always keep on complaining about their hometown. So this is a kind of paradox, let's say. If you don't return, this place will never improve. But if you don't return, you will always come back and you will always complain about that place and the mentality of that place. So this is another reason of founding this organization, to show them we have studied, we improved ourselves, but we, like, this is my personal preference. I don't mean everybody has to do this. So after reminding about this, about the seashores, about stopping taking the sands from the beaches, then something starts to change. Even the shape of the beach starts to change, but this needs a long, long time. So if you want to witness with your eyes for this change, it really needs a time.
How your job changed during these years? Because you are an organization for more than 10 years now. And also, Gyuri said that at first he had doubts. Now he is the digital coordinator. So I'm sure you improved a lot also because you are now part of the European Solidarity Corps too. So how the organization developed?
Organization is developing internationally and locally, but nationally it is not very developing because we are in a small town, but we receive a lot of attention from local people now. So the development is in the knowledge and in conscious way. And with the help of Gyuri to improve our webpage, so we started to reach more people. And thanks to social media, now people are following us and we are sharing our daily life, volunteers' life, our projects' life, what is going on the beach, and what is going on with the environmental protection around Kazanlı, not only in Kazanlı, also what is going on in Mersin, in Turkey, in the world also, but especially, you know, our organization is based on to raise awareness about climate change, environmental protection, and sea turtles and endangered species. So change in the mentality is enough for today. After a while, when we affect the human behaviors, it will be more important and more valuable. I am also witnessing the change in the mentality, especially with the kids. And now they became teenagers. When we meet a kid when he or she was 4 or 5 years old, now they are 15, 16 years old. So we see the difference in their mentality, in their change. I think when you were here, you met Sabahattin.
Yes, I met Sabahattin.
Yeah, Sabahattin was like 5 years old or 4 years old when we started. And he grew up with our organization. Even when he was very young, he couldn't be with us for a long time. But he was watching us, monitoring us. So subconsciously changing at the same time. And now, if he had any spare time from his school, he wants to be with us and with our volunteers, no matter at night or in the daytime. But also we, like in that age, we need to tell them, even as a teacher, I have to warn him, first focus on your education, then our organization. That's why, but when I see the change, when I see his reactions and his behaviors and other kids in his age, this makes me more happy for the future and hopeful.
And when did you first find the need for creating a digital program?
Actually, it was already in it, but when the European Solidarity Corps changed and in 2021, when they declared about the next 7 years program, they put the three titles on the top. So that three titles, when it is green and when it is like digital and inclusion, our projects already based on these three topics, but we just put more importance and we put more visible about the digital skills when we speak with Mr. Gyuri about how we can improve. Of course, our volunteers can be very developed about digital skills, but we cannot think only about the developed volunteers. We have to think about the other who has no idea or who has limited access to the digital skills. Then we talked with Mr. Gyuri and decided to start a digital skills program. And your group was our first group to apply it, and we are still improving about it. But when it is summer season, for now there is like small need for it, because we have to put more importance, more time on protecting the turtles. So we are going to improve the digital skills more, and we try to be more useful for our world.
Do you already have some plans how to improve this program?
Sure. We just started to learn that how the European youngsters know about the digital activities in their real life, you know, how to apply what they have learned somewhere, somehow in their real life. We would like to first know that who or what kind of digital development skill level European volunteer has. We would like to first know this. And from your group, the February team, you know, as Mr. Sayan said, there are some people like you really has a good digital skill, not only using how the applications as effectively, but also has the ability to tell, to help the other volunteers. And also we are trying to see how the young generation react, you know, when they apply for a job. The European legislation system has a digital skill testing, some kind of a device or some kind of an online activity to test how your digital skill level is, okay? So when you apply for a business or a job, that will be really important to have the basic skills. They didn't want everybody to be professional designers or anything, but the basic digital skills. And from when the summer activity, summer groups finish, we'll try to keep our digital activities with the digital competences, with what the European system wants us to do, like the competence of learning the privacy. And we will try to put this into our real project life. For example, privacy online is important, and you know your privacy is important. So why don't you care about the privacy of the sea turtles then? So we have to integrate all these things, what we are really doing. Yeah, yes, you are protecting the sea turtles. Okay, you are here for them. You are protecting yourself, and you're protecting your digital environment. So your inclusion and digitally active and helping the climate change and the marine life, all three things will be integrated in each other. So this is what we are planning for the future digital activity. Not only the digital activity, do this, do that, will be integrated with each other. So privacy, not only for you and not only for our digital identities, but only for the sea turtles, you know, coming to our sandy beaches and lay their eggs, so we should protect their privacy too. So we are trying to integrate this for our upcoming project period times, okay? So this will be a good developing to integrate the project necessities. We are looking forward to it with your help, Dora.
Yes, I will be happy to help.
Oh, thank you.
As you said, my volunteering group was the first whose project included digital activities. And we tried a lot of different platforms. What I mean, like, we had to do animations, ebooks, Padlet, a lot of things. How did you choose what kind of digital programs will be used?
From our other project periods and from the other digital skill-based projects like e-twinning projects. Have you ever heard those e-twinning projects?
No.
They're school projects. When you are at a school from the smallest to the high school teenagers, you are integrated into European e-twinning school projects. In those projects, for example, my last project was about the oceans, you know, the saving marine life. With my five students, we worked on how to protect the marine life with their drawing posters. And drawing is only what you think and what you do. So you have to put it in the digital environment. So we started to use Canva as an example from there. So they tried to illustrate what they did in their papers in Canva program, the software. So digitally, systems are really necessary for e-twinning to move forward as youth and they are ready for the future, they should have the same abilities, the digital abilities like this. So we wanted to know how many of the European, you know, youth, young people coming to our project know how to make the video animation, how to create a poster. So these are all the foundations of what you will have to do in the ending, in the finishing activity. Do you remember what you did the final activity? You made an online meeting, then you prepared your presentations, video and other things, and so you presented them to us online. Everybody had their part to present. So we chose this to get ready to know how to make a presentation, how to make a poster, how to make a video show, and how to handle an online meeting with what you have did at that time so far. So those activities are selected for that they are going to help for the last activity, to make them ready for the last activity. Preparing an online meeting was our the final and the most important activity, which will be very important for the future, like you are doing now. You are handling an online meeting. Like, they are all selected for the purpose to help the final activity, to create the background of their activities, slowly to the high level activity as you were in it.
You super act to us too. We are very happy that you are here with us. As I said to you, we are talking about Third Eye, and since the organization is part of the European Solidarity Corps, you are the mentor of the volunteers. So basically you are with them all day. How would you describe what these days look like, and how can you help them during their activities?
We give them orientation first when they are coming here. So explaining about culture and how to do the activities in safe, and also how to manage to be good work. I'm trying to help them as much as I can, trying my best. They are also discovering something, so they are learning something. In that process, I help them. Cultural thing.
How these activities change? Because in my program, usually in the morning, we clean the beach. In the afternoon, we had workshop where we prepared different activities for children, teaching them about environment protection. We had some Turkish lesson too, but you already said that summer is a bit different because, for example, you don't have that much time for digital activities as we had during my program. Yes. So how do the activities change in the summer and in the winter period?
We have summer period, we have turtles, so we're changing like night shift. We are doing the all night protecting them, and we have the... Our main activity is cleaning the beach. We do cleaning the beach in the winter or in the summer also too, in different time. We're changing the program. And now the period is the before mama season now. It's the mama season. So we are starting from the 9 to till the morning, 5 o'clock. We are protecting them with switching the groups. So we have different schedules. So we are organizing how to protect them. During afternoon, we have cleaning. But in winter, so we don't have turtles, so we are trying to create awareness, and we have some workshop, so we are creating some ideas how to create that awareness with the locals, with the kids, our target kids. We have these two different schedules.
Your project is a short-term European Solidarity Corps project, and in our third episode of our podcast, we learn a lot about, from Mr. Seyhan, what is European Solidarity Corps and what the difference between short and long projects. But why did you decide that having volunteers only for a short period and not for, you know, from the beginning until the turtles are born in a long-term project?
Actually, yes, we would like to give opportunity to more people, like shorter, 2 months, but hosting the more volunteers, and they can have experience actually for that, because they sometimes like two long-term different rhythm. You know, you work with the turtles and after you are changing the schedule of your life, it's hard because 3 months you work at night and after 3 months you have to work like normal. Speaking like this will be more comfortable for all.
The listeners can imagine that usually we work on our own and Yusuf is coming every day to check on us, just to talk and get to know us. And sometimes Seyhan comes here for, you know, also to talk or to give us Turkish lessons. But with Güray, we usually work on the digital. And how do you decide, Güray, that when you come in person to do these activities and when to only meet online?
You know, Dora, we are all together. As Yusuf said, summertime is very different. So the summertime activities are really more tiring or more tiresome than the winter activities because the timing changes. You become like a bat, a vampire. You live at nights and sleep on days, you know. As Mr. Yusuf said, we start in the afternoon, you know, very close to evening, cleaning the beach. And we come home for have a little break or, you know, maybe you woke up in the afternoon, that break will be your breakfast break. But it's evening, you know. So after that break, you start monitoring the beach and it's nighttime. So no sun, you have torches searching or monitoring what's happening there. Are they this time? As Mr. Yusuf and Mr. Seyhan said, it's the mama turtle's time. They, you know, breed in the sea and at nights, usually, they come on the sands and put their eggs, lay their eggs. So that is the very important time that they shouldn't be disturbed. So that's very important. Until the very first lights of the morning, the turtles go on the beach, okay? So laying eggs. So until morning, all these activities go further. We don't have much time for combining those digital activities. But we had digital activity. We created a poster for the cleaning day. We had a local cleaning day with the municipality. We prepared posters and we prepared flyers to hand out the people. But we have stopped for now because the monitoring period is really tiring. That's why we don't have to get together to decide what to do for digitally, what to do for that. But for a short time later, we will be, you know, when the young volunteers get used to working due to the shift change, then we will start our small digital activities and we will get together with Mr. Seyhan, with Mr. Yusuf to make our decisions. But we usually get together. We usually have some coffee, not online, almost 3 or 4 days a week. And Mr. Yusuf, I always see him when I go to Kazanlı. And Laos, thank you, Mr. Yusuf and Mr. Seyhan.
Because it can be in the summer period so tiring, and even in the winter period, you need a lot of volunteers to be able to clean the beach. How you decide who can be a volunteer here?
Mr. Seyhan.
Yes, mostly. Like our selection is not based on about education. What did our volunteers or candidates study? It is not important for us. The matter is about mostly our motivation letter is very important from our perspective. So we selected from the motivation letter because as you were our volunteer, you have seen that you don't need any type of extra skills to be a volunteer in our project. So the matter is about the motivation, especially. But sometimes, as you also witnessed, we had some volunteers. We are having some volunteers who are not very motivated because European Solidarity Corps and volunteering projects are based on learning by doing. And nowadays, lately, most of the teenagers, doesn't matter European or Turkish or anywhere, from anywhere of the world, they prefer this type of, especially short-term volunteering projects for a vacation or to travel to see new cultures. But sea culture, to know and to learn a new culture is also included in our project, like in European Solidarity Corps. But mostly on summer, we really care about the physical strength as well. So that is why the way of questioning in our application form, as you also filled in, we have some different questions about physical strength and walking because our volunteers are going to walk like nearly 10 kilometers in a day and at night. They need to work at night and they need to sleep in the daytime. So these are a challenging part of it. So, like, I mean, this part is more important at summer. But in winter time, as I said, motivation letter is very important. Like, among thousands of projects in the world, why you choose our project to be with us?
What happens if someone not so motivated? How can you help them? I guess it's mostly Yusuf's job as he's with us as a mentor. How did you try to help those who didn't have as much motivation?
I like to observe. So observing also is like kind of learning about how to communicate with them. So that is interesting part. You know, we all different mind. We have different way of thinking. So trying to understand person first and after to communicate with this person and try to motivate person for the activities, see it from different perspective as much as I can. First, trying to make them to focus more to project, feeling the learning about themselves. They need some time for it. So I think they want to change something because they are coming to the project and motivating like what they have, which power we give them. Nature is give, actually. They can change something in here. We talk about it, trying to make them focus more on the project. And this part is interesting also, but it's challenging. But challenges make me active, and I like it.
I can also add something about this part. Because our volunteers, we are having short-term volunteering projects, group volunteering projects especially. So when the volunteers apply to our projects, they are individual till they arrive here. After they arrive here, they are spending the time with each other nearly 24 hours together, more than their brother or sister. So where the obstacle starts with spending time with each other, because with the activity, it is obvious what they are going to do. So we are not asking them like be a powerful man or motivated, like 100% motivation. But the matter is the quality time when they are spending the time together. And when they are not spending the free times in quality way, they bring this demotivation to our activities at the same time. This doesn't mean the demotivated volunteers are exactly the demotivated volunteers. Because before they arrive here, actually they are motivated. When they are losing their motivation is when the interactions start with the other world. Because we also say this, the laziness infection is infection. And it infects the people very fast. If there is a person who is really lazy, maybe mentally he is very active. But another person is mostly physically active, at the same time mentally active. They start to be lazy because it is interaction. I have never seen a person in our projects, also in my teaching life as a teacher, hardworking is not infectious. Like nobody says, oh, he is or she is working harder than me, so I should work harder. This brings sometimes there needs to be a reward or a target for it. Especially we do this in our employment job, like in our job life, because there is, you are going to earn money for it. So why should I not be better than others? But in volunteering work, this is the most important part. You have to be better than others, not for any target. It is for the world, especially in our project, especially for the turtles, especially for the local community to raise the awareness and consciousness, especially for your future life. And we tell to our volunteers who are losing their motivation, of course, we take part when we speak about who is losing the motivation. Try to take some precautions, but sometimes volunteers are insisting losing the motivation, like they don't return back to motivating level. Mm-hmm. So they learn something after they finish the project. This is another level of learning process, because sometimes you do something unconsciously. After you finish doing it, when you start to evaluate what you have done, you start to find the reasons what you learned or what you could have done better. And this is our also another question, like at the end of the project, if you ask this question to yourself, this means you are grown now, because what could I have done better? But I didn't. So this is another level of thinking. So we try to also give this mentality to our volunteers. Again, I should repeat, nobody comes here with demotivation. They lose the motivation during the project. But it like in our idea, we are also asking with you also, we had some evaluation meetings. So when we realize they are losing the motivation, we try to motivate them again. But the interaction is more important than the organization at that level.
That's why I think it's important. It's a bit of spoiler. In a future episode, I will talk with actual volunteers and Miriam will tell to not only go to one project, but at least two. So you can really decide if you like this kind of activity or not. Because the first time, maybe the only problem was the group.
Yeah, so we also say to our volunteers, when they lose the motivation, in another group, maybe you will be one of the most active ones. Because group interaction is something else. Like, nobody can describe you this. You are going to meet 9 more people with different cultural backgrounds, different attitudes, different personal behaviors or demands. So you will never know. As an organization, we can also never know about this, what will be the interaction. As a person, it is okay. But when the interaction starts with different cultures, that is why, as your teammates have told you, if you try another volunteering projects, you will learn much more about yourself at the same time. And our short-term group EVS is also a good way to start, because in European Solidarity Corps, I think we are going to speak about this also in our next episode.
Yes.
Short-term volunteering is the way of starting for volunteering projects. You realize and you learn about yourself, then you can decide if I can do long one or not. That's why we also recommend to our candidates, even local candidates who are going to participate to a project, first, try to find a short period project. If you see it works and you feel useful in the project and you really want to learn more about it, you can try the long one. Otherwise, if you try the long one first, if you are regretful, there is no way of returning back to it.
You said that there will be 9 other person, and with that, I think we can go to the accommodation part of your organization, because at your organization, we live 10 of us in 2 apartments, so everyone lived with 2 or 3 other people in the same room. Why did you decide to have accommodation like that?
Again, I can answer this question, I think. Like, we decided this type of accommodation to have more interaction, because nowadays with the modern life, with the technology, instead of having faster communication, actually we lose the communication in our life because of social media, because of other stuff to do, because of web pages, because of many reasons I can say. So I guess, let's guess, if you have a single room for each volunteer, I can ask you now this question. If you had a single room in our project, how much time you would spend with the others than only dinner, lunch, and breakfast?
Actually, I know the answer because I was part of an Erasmus before in Greece and I have my own room. But I think it really depends on the person, because during my Erasmus in Greece, I lived in an apartment with 4 other person, and we had so good relationship that we were always in the living room, watching movies together, doing stuff together, learn how to dance together. So in my case, I know I would socialize, but I agree that there are some people, because everybody is different, who would stay in their room.
But I can ask one more question. It was a youth exchange and your interaction lasts only 1 week, right?
No, I was in Erasmus for 1/2 year.
For 6 months, Erasmus.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, I thought it was a youth exchange.
No, it was a study exchange.
Okay.
But so for 1/2 year, we were living together and I was lucky because I had a very good group.
Yes, as you said, so when there is a isolation with single room, we have seen that even in our group volunteering projects, some volunteers are not trying to interact each other. They like, because in their actual life, in their hometown life, they are living alone or they are living with one person that from the family or from long time friendship. That is why in our project life, apart from the activity and eating times, they never interact. It can be because of their personality. They can be shy. They can be introverted people. But this type of living together accommodation also brings one plus in our opinion. Our volunteers think we are losing the intimacy and our private life. It is another way. But for 2 months, you learn more than you expect in our project about yourself again. I think you can confirm this, Laura.
Yes, I can confirm this. And also, as you said, there are lots of different cultures and volunteers come from different countries. You know, the English level is usually different. So Yusuf, because you interact with the volunteers the most, I think, from all 3 of you, how do you help the volunteers who has not that good level of English?
So I learn by practice, trying to learn the easy word they use, or I explain them, so they were using the English, so I'm trying to motivate them to use more English.
Because there are different cultures, and that's why we have cultural nights, where all the 3 of you, if we can manage, comes. So from your perspective, how are these cultural nights?
Cultural nights are the most important event or activity that should be in every project or any kind of project, from long-term to youth exchange, short-term to whatever you say. At that time, it is more important to really show who you are and where you come from. It is really important because these projects are for keeping, as Mr. Seyhan said, people together to interact with each other. If this won't be, so no more inclusion we can talk about for these projects.
And also I want to say about cultural night, important because, you know, if you want to know the person, so culture is give you a lot of details. So, you know, if you know the culture, you know the person, you can understand it. You will not have prejudice, you know, you will understand it better. So it's important to do it. It's helping a lot for the volunteers to understand each other better.
I always mention this in my mails before our volunteers arrive here. we ask them to have a presentation beyond a YouTube presentation or beyond an internet presentation. Why we are asking for this? For example, if I want to visit Budapest or Hungary, I can ask something directly what to see. So I will find something like top 10 to see in Budapest, for example. But this will not give me a culture. This is not a cultural thing to visit a place. If I ask you about your personal lifestyle at home, or what did you bring from past to nowadays, if you explain this to each other, then this will give opportunity to our volunteers to learn about the real culture of that nation or that country or that city.
Yeah, I think my cultural night is a good example because I cook some traditional food called langos. I also taught the volunteers and use some Hungarian traditional dance moves. And you could learn Easter tradition too, where the girls painted eggs and the boys said the Hungarian poem and then sprinkled the girls. So we are talking about this kind of cultural evenings, I think.
Yes, exactly. I am talking about this. And actually, sometimes this brings a pressure to our volunteers to cook something real traditional. But as an organization, we don't ask especially about cooking something traditional. Because instead of receiving pressure about this idea, we want them to represent their culture, not only, oh, what I can cook, will time be enough for cooking, or this type of things will bring pressure. Instead of this, you can describe your culture, you can describe the cooking style, or what type of food is very cultural things. But you don't have to cook it, actually. If you can, it is a plus.
And I think we, as volunteers, learn a lot about each other's cultures because thanks to your idea, we are always cooking together. So it's like every day there are two persons that decided beforehand who cook for all the 10 of us. And I think it's a very good idea because we get to know each other's cuisine.
To cook for everyone, the challenge, they have to take part of responsibility. So it's helping. So we decided to like this. We're suggesting them. So they are doing and they are also, as you said, is learning a lot. So
in the beginning, actually, we tried to hire a chef for the volunteers, but it stopped the interaction when we monitor this result. At the same time, our chef got crazy because each volunteer has different demands. Like one of them that is vegan, one of them is vegetarian, one of them is not eating parsley, one of them doesn't like onion. Many, many changes. So we decided to respect this type of personal demands will bring another level of respect in the group as well. So that is why cooking for each other brought some other things that we even couldn't imagine at the beginning. But I think it was a successful decision, let's say. Even the duration of cooking, you interact more with each other.
Even if it's not the main thing, still the volunteers have the possibility during these projects to travel a bit because we have some free days in Turkey. In our free days, it's like the weekends are free and we have 2 days per month and we always have to ask permission. How can we, you know, put together our free days? How you decide when the volunteers can go on a longer holiday?
Actually, it is the European Commission gives this right to our volunteers. It is about rights of the volunteers. So each volunteer has 2 extra free days in a month. So they can only combine this with weekends, which means 2 plus 2. So they can have 4 days holiday. Mostly we do not prefer our volunteers to have 6 or 8 days off days in a row, because in a 2 months, if you keep away from a project for more than 6 days, you lose the connection at the same time. But instead of this, exploring the Turkish attractions and returning back, doing the activities, and next week or another week going again to another attractions. Actually, also our volunteers didn't think about this, but this also saving some monies. Instead of traveling 7-8 days in a row, in their first travel, they can learn what is going on in one travel. So when they return back, they can decide a better excursion for themselves at the same.
So let's talk about the end of the project, because in the end, we get digital passes and youth passes. What are the digital passes good for?
Digital passes are just to know that you have completed something in an effective or a helpful way to you. It's a kind of demonstration that you did something for the benefit of yourself and for the well-being of the project. It is important to honor the people. So the digital pass, it's like a certificate of attendance. It's not a diploma. you know. So we don't have the right to give you a diploma that you have finished university or something else. But it is important that it really helps, because this is not compulsory activity you do. This is an activity which you want to do. You decided to come and join the activities, the project. That's the most important part, that if you decide something to do, so you want to know, you want to learn, you want to get the best part of what you have done. I think Mr. Seyhan will talk about the Youth Pass and the project important certificates. But the digital certificates is to show our thanks and to honor you.
I can say something about this. The digital pass is like this. We decided it as an organization. So it is just involved about our organization. But Youth Pass is a certificate of 8 competences, which was described and mentioned by European Commission. So Youth Pass is prepared by European Commission and sent to the organizations, and it is mostly filled in by volunteers, him or herself, in short projects. Because in short projects, European Commission says that a person, while explaining about their learning way or the title, they can understand, they can evaluate themselves. So it will be like self-esteem, self-evaluation at the same time. This is one of the reasons. The second reason, it is the official way of recognition of European Commission of the project. So that is why it is a must, as Mr. Gray said. At the same time, with the modern life again, everybody is graduating from university, from any departments. When you apply for a job, there is no differences. You are graduated from a university. She is graduated. Another person has graduated. So what is going to put the difference is your social activities. And in your CVs, you cannot explain your social interaction. But if you have fulfilled a short-term, a long-term project in another country with more cultures and many countries, this means something, like you have a kind of tolerance, understanding, and something else. Like everybody can think about their own words about this Youth Pass mentality, but this gives some clues to the new employers. I can repeat, this is official recognition of the project.
So we talked a lot about the project and through the association, but how can we apply? How can we find your association? You said you have website and everything. How can we be part of the Third Eye project?
Thanks to Mr. Gray, we have a webpage, thirdeyemet.org.tr. And in European Solidarity Corps, there is a European Youth Portal page where you can find projects, online projects, open projects, the vacancies. And at the same time, if we have free spaces with last moment, as you found us on Facebook or the social media, sometimes we are also making call or finding our volunteers from the social medias. But especially, we are working with our sending organizations. Each country has a sending organization when we are hosting. But if we are the sending organization, then there is a hosting organization in another country. Thanks to Youth Bridges Budapest from Hungary, our partner for your sending organization. And we have worked for a long time with, I don't know if I can pronounce it well, but Meselato Exeshulet is one of our ex-partner, our long-term partner. But now they are out of the, like, probably the coordinator changed and we lost the connection. But we have hosted a lot of Hungarian volunteers. So thanks to European Solidarity Corps, it is bringing us together. So first you need to find us, or you need to find a sending organization, which we are working with. Then you can apply for our project to be our volunteer.
Who do you recommend this project?
Every youth needs some experience like this. But if you want to change, learn about yourself more, challenging something, also want to connect with the nature, because it needs, especially in the summer, need effort. So you connect with nature, so apply. Welcome.
Thank you very much for all of you to be here with us. And I think we learned a lot about Third Eye Association. And I hope a lot of volunteers from Hungary and from anywhere in the world will come to your organization.
Thank you. Thank you, Dora, for sharing your precious time with us, trying to be our social media face. Thanks for your taking into business and taking work with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dora.
And thanks to all of you for listening. After getting so much information about Third Eye Association, in our next episode, we will talk about its social cause, which is environmental protection. If you care about the Earth or just want to know more about the sea turtles, stay with us for our next episode. You listen to Escape the Ordinary. I was Dora Mezu. See you next time. Created by Lila Dora Mezu. Brought to you by Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, First University Radio of the City of Pest, 2022.